Today on Real Radio.
Now listen, if we have the armament, and as this soldier, this Christian soldier, is getting suited up in our studies, what do you think this guy's created to do? He's created to go forward, not to go back. He's created to go out into the world, not hide from the world.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in its final chapter, chapter 6, and in a series within a series called Complete Christian Armor. Our focus is verses 10 through 20. This is where the author uses metaphors of military garments and equipment in describing how we are to fight this spiritual warfare in which every believer is engaged. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Covered in Righteousness.
Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or trickery of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, or because that is true, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Our last time together concerning the Christian in complete armor, we saw in verse 10, our source of all power. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We don't have to be, as Christians, those who pump ourselves up and psych ourselves up and say, "Well, you know what, here I go. I'm going to go out there and meet the devil head on. I'm going to walk my Christian walk today." And you just do this hype thing. You sing a couple hymns. You might, you know, put on a Battle Belongs to the Lord song and go out there and whip the devil. Well, that's not going to happen. We're no match for the devil, but thank God, the devil's no match for our God and King and our Savior. And we don't fight him. We call upon the one alone who has the power, and that is our great God. And so we stand and we succeed because we call upon the one who is able in his might. Those of you who are experiencing difficulty in spiritual things, maybe you've been praying and it feels like there's a big blanket over your prayer life, and you've talked to the Lord and you said, "God, you know, have I done something wrong? Is there something in my life?" And there's a big zero. You don't hear anything. By the way, there's one thing I've learned over the years in being a Christian. When you ask God that question, "Is there anything keeping me from you?" And if you don't hear anything, it's time to move on to the next prayer. Some people beat themselves up thinking, "Well, I guess I got to confess something." And they get into this thing about, if I just make this some kind of a confession, maybe that'll clear the slate. And some people would go to confession to God and make things up. Then they're lying to them in the confession. And listen, have you noticed that when you goof up, God is very faithful and he speaks very loud when we're wrong? Have you noticed? When we're in the wrong, he lets you know. So when you're praying, "Oh, there seems like this big steel blanket. Oh, Lord, is there something wrong? I can't get through with my prayers." Listen, if he doesn't say anything to you, persevere on in prayer. It's a battle. It's a war. Continue on. I love what, I think it was Luther said, "Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees." Isn't that great? Can you imagine Satan poking and shooting fiery darts at people and launching thoughts into their head and goofing them all up? And then that little weak saint that we all are, we just fall to our knees. "Oh, Jesus." And I bet Satan says, "Oh, Jesus, I'm in trouble." And he's got to flee. The Bible says, resist the devil steadfast. and he'll flee from you, and submit yourself unto God. In verses 11 and 12, we saw that we're to put on the whole armor of God, and that was standing against the devil, to stand against his tricks, because he sure has them. He has an amazing arsenal to come against us. But the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And then we saw last time also in verses 13 to 14, in the early part or the early portion of verse 14, that we are equipped for the war. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. And that suggests that there is nothing missing. Christian, if you and I are failing right now, it is not God's fault. How many times are we tempted to say, God, what are you doing? Or God, why did you do this? Or why did you do that? Hey, listen, I have learned that when I'm in that mode, it's something I've done. It's always me. Now, to be quite honest with you, when I say, God, why? I'm actually probably in God's eyes about as big as an ant, rearing up my right hand and swinging at him. That's what I'm doing when I ask him why. I'm challenging him. Can you imagine? You walk by, see this little ant down there on the ground, and he's standing up and his back legs going like this. You ever see an ant goofing? You know, you've done this. You've played with them, right? With a magnifying glass? A little ant going around there? No, I'm kidding. I don't want to. But have you ever just blown on them? They're on your hand. You just go. They're gone. You see this ant just flying away. And I think God looks at us sometimes and just goes, what are you doing? What was that? I could have swore. I heard a, why God? And when I come to my senses, I have to humble myself and repent and say, Lord, you know everything. I don't understand a thing of what you're doing. He has his ways. He has his wonderful ways. And we are equipped for the war in this life with the whole armor of God. And then we saw also that we were wrapped in truth last time together, that our waist was to be girded about with truth. We saw that that meant two things. Not only that the belt was to hold on the rest of the armor, but also it's a necessary thing for the Christian to be serving his brethren, that Jesus girded himself before his sufferings, and he served the disciples. He served his brethren by washing their feet. And the girding about of truth is not only Christian service, but also good Christian doctrine. Both of those things working together will produce this wonderful thing about us operating in the area of truth. We'll not only know the truth, but we'll do the truth. That's very important. And so tonight we come to this wonderful thing about being covered in his righteousness, having this breastplate. For it says in Ephesians 6:14, the latter part, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth, and here it is, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And Paul is talking about the Roman soldier. And they wore, according to scholars and archaeologists, they wore two types of breastplate. And by the way, both of them, somewhere they say weigh between 25 to 30 pounds. And it was a big deal. It was the number one item that you wore to protect your vitals. Listen, it came right to the Adam's apple of your neck. In fact, many soldiers would often take leather and put it between the neck and the plates there, or the chain, because it went so far up in the neck and behind the neck. It covered them from the middle of the neck down to the middle of the thighs. And it was both in the area of metal that was hammered into platelets, almost like or scales on a fish, or like an alligator type scales. Or it could be chains, actual chains that were layered together. And it would allow for great mobility and to be able to bend over and things like this. Tremendous amount of armor, some 30 pounds worth. And it was actually invincible against the sword at close combat. We'll come to the sword of the Spirit later on, and that's an exciting study, just that of itself. But when you were fighting at close combat, hand to hand, and your opponent took out the Machaira to kill you, he was going to try to ram that blade until it hit the stop on the wrist. He would run it through, and this coat of mail would often prevent that from happening. It's a very important creation for military armament, and it was a great success, no doubt, for the Roman army. In 1 Samuel 17:5, you want to talk about armor. In 1 Samuel 17:5, it said that Goliath had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and it weighed about 5,000 shekels of bronze. That's 165 pounds. Goliath's breastplate weighed 165 pounds. It spoke of his spear was that of a weaver's beam, 135-pound spear. Can you imagine somebody throwing that thing? Goliath could throw that. And there was also a guy, if you read Samuel, there was some poor schmuck that carried around Goliath's armament. Can you imagine that poor guy's job? Fetch me my spear, and this guy comes up, "Your spear, sir." You know, and he's like wiggling, trying to hold it up. Well, the Roman soldier had a tremendous advantage by having this breastplate of metal. And Paul, no doubt, we know by now that he's possibly chained that Roman guard in his imprisonment there in Rome. And he's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's looking at this guy's armament. That's a mighty nice coat of mail you have there. And he's looking at it, and then writes in there that we can have the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, the Roman soldier was geared up. In fact, the Roman government purchased for him his battle attire. Well, that's the least they could do, I would think. But nonetheless, it was provided, and it was the very best in the world. And it protected everything that man needed to stay alive. And so Paul is drawing the attention to the Christian that we have the breastplate of righteousness, because all the righteousness that God would have us to have has been given to us. Now listen. You would say, well, praise the Lord, and that's great, and I'm glad for that. You bet you're glad for that, because when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. Now, isn't that something? When Jesus Christ looks at us, he sees his reflection in the armor. When God the Father looks at you and I, he sees the righteousness of his only Son. And we are completely accepted to the Father. Now, listen, if we have the armament, and as this soldier, this Christian soldier, is getting suited up in our studies, what do you think this guy's created to do? He's created to go forward, not to go back. He's created to go out into the world, not hide from the world. God is suiting us up, and in fact has suited us up to go out into the world, to fight. You don't suit a soldier up and then put him behind a typewriter. It's a waste of energy, it's a waste of money, it's a waste of metal, a waste of resources. But the Christian must put on what has been given. It says in verse 14, having put on. Notice that. In the Greek language, it's assuming we've already put it on. This is great. It's already on the Christian. Hey, cheer up, somebody. Those of you who are doubting, or you're fearful, or you didn't have that great of a walk this week, listen up. The righteousness that God gives has been given to you. It's already been imputed to you. Now, I don't want to spend much time on that truth, because to be quite frank with you, this is not the righteousness that Paul's talking about. We have been given the righteousness of God. Because that's true, we now have also the breastplate of righteousness, which speaks about a practical living righteousness in our own life. Because Jesus Christ and his righteousness has been given to us, past tense, we now are to walk with the breastplate of righteousness, and it is our right living. You might use the word holiness. Holy living. Because God has saved us, because our righteousness is in Christ, we now move out from that position and we walk in a newness or in a holiness of life. And that means that for those of us who are Christians, we have come out from the world. Remember what we used to do? We don't do those things anymore. That's how you know you're a Christian, by one of the reasons, anyway, in a practical sense. You have no appetite for the things of the world. It makes you sick. I was very much blessed and encouraged this last weekend when somebody came up to me and they said, you know, since you and I pray together, I haven't touched drugs in 10 days. Totally free. No hunger, no thirst, no nothing for it. And I said, praise the Lord. And he goes, man, I feel great too. I feel better. I'm standing up straighter. My eyes are clear. I write better. I can read better. I'm driving my car better. He says, 10 days I've been clean. Isn't God awesome? He said. I said, yeah, he is awesome. Isn't that great? Holiness. The things that we once did, we can no longer do anymore for a lot of reasons, but one of them is the Holy Spirit who's dwelling within us won't let us stay there. We may see all of our friends, maybe our old friends, going back to the watering hole or to the slop trough or whatever it might be, and they're going, come on, man, just like the old times. Just like the old times? I've tried to forget the old times. Oh, come on, just tie one on for old time's sake. What does that mean? And it's so stupid. The world, it's just the things that we see are stupid. Come on, let's go party, man. And what do? You go out on a Friday night and you spend the whole weekend hugging a toilet bowl. The rest of the weekend, then on Monday comes. Oh. You know, it's amazing companies even let us go home on Fridays, looking at the condition that we'd come back to work in. Weekends were not good for us. It was dangerous. And people are saying, man, this is living, isn't it, buddy? Yo, pal. Well, wait a minute. When I accepted Christ, all my old buddies and pals said, you're nuts. You're weird. What a wacko. He's got a Bible now. He's got a Bible. And I saw him going down the street the other day. He's got this fish thing on his car. And they didn't call me anymore. I mean, we were just so bud. We were so friend. And we did everything together. We so stuck together until someone in the group gives their heart to Christ. And then it's, what are you, a freak? Well, come on, you know, you guys, I mean, it's come listen to this service. It's, you got it. Oh, man, you're a freak. It's happened to you. And it's amazing now. I mean, I've been saved a long time, but I tell you, you see some of those people from yesterlife, and, you know, they're like on their 20th marriage or whatever, and they're like beaten to death, and they're broke, and it's like, oh man, tie one on for old time. What are you, nuts? Looks like you've been tied up one too many times. It's a mess. Listen, we are to live righteously because our God is holy. And we are to walk as he would walk in the world, not because we have to, but because we get to. That sounded almost foreign. Get to. Because we get to. We get to. The world is doing their thing, and we've been liberated from that. We've been freed. I've told you this quote before. I've been quoting this thing for years. I just love this quote, though. Eric Hoffa said this. The best test of freedom is not in what you are free to do, but what you are free not to do. Think about it. Day in, day out, people who are not practicing holiness in their life and righteousness in their life, chances are they're hooked to something in the world. And they're not free. They think they're free. Come on, man, let's just go for it. Oh, it's bondage. It's bondage. You've got to live in this certain lifestyle. Why? It's bondage. Are you really free? Are you free? Are you dependent upon this or in this life for something to get you through, to get you by? Well, you know, I got to have that martini every night when I come home from work. It calms me down. I got something that's a lot inexpensive, a lot more effective and a lot less expensive, and it smells a lot better in your breath. Try literally coming home, and while you're going home, put in a worship CD and begin to sing God praises on the freeway. You'll find yourself singing and not knowing all of a sudden you're home. And you're building the man of the Spirit inside and the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, or you're praising the Lord and you're advancing in the kingdom while you're sitting on the freeway. And you might even let somebody take cuts in front of you doing that. Somebody might put on a blinker. You actually slow down and let them in. Wouldn't that be something? Righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is a righteousness of practical Christian living every day. How do we live our lives? But I want to stress tonight, as I try to always, that this is not a message, nor is this a verse that is calling us to be some kind of workaholics for our righteousness. This is not something that I'm going to go out and try harder tomorrow, Jack. That's not what this is. That's not what Christ would have you to do, but to appropriate the righteousness that has already been given to us. To stand up tomorrow morning and say, you know what? Jesus is holy. He says, I'm holy, and I'm going to go to work now, or I'm going to do my thing today in holiness. And you come from your bedroom, down your hallway, out your door, from the position of holiness. You can start brand new tomorrow. Because of His power and His might, you can do this. Because it's not you doing it. It's the Spirit of God that dwells within you. So concerning verse 14, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate, notice, has already been provided. Thank the Lord for that. And the Christian must put it on. Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put it on. The word in the Greek is put it on, or to don the wardrobe, or to, listen, I like this. It means to put on a new color. Isn't that neat? Put on a new color. A lot of Christians are walking around in this drab dreariness. And this verse here is to put it on. I like that. Ephesians 4:22 says, put off the former life in our conduct, which is called the old man. Isn't that great? The old man. That's what he is. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off the old man. You put off the old man and you put on Christ. You put on this righteousness. And by the way, you do that by believing in the Word of God. When you read it, you believe it and you appropriate it to yourself. I want to encourage you real quick, and I don't want to spend time on this because, quite frankly, it's not in my notes. Listen, when you read the Bible, please don't read it like it's some kind of something that's second habit. You know what second habit is? Second habit is when you get up in the morning. Did you think about putting your belt on this morning when you left the house, or brushing your teeth, or whatever you do? It's just a routine. You do it, you're thinking about everything else but that thing. You know what I'm saying? You do it automatically. Well, when you read the scriptures, don't read it like that. Do not read it like that. When you read the Bible, you read it and you make it you. You make it yours.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Covered in Righteousness. It's part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 called Complete Christian Armor. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. By the way, this series is now available in an 8-CD set. Remember, our task here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your growth as a true believer. So here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be glad to send you this 8-CD package. Ask for it by name, Complete Christian Armor. To get in touch, call, click, or write. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.